Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Got a quick question for you as we get started. What food makes you happy? Tell the person beside you, type it in the chat if you're online. What food makes you happy? I reckon that most food makes me happy if there's lots of this. Lots of salt. I love salt. I reckon that food is actually a vehicle for salt, right? That all food, that's the whole purpose for its existence. So yeah, I've got lots of salt here today to in case somebody wants to feed me. And by the way, if you have me over for a meal, don't be offended. I'm going to ask you where the salt is, okay? Or I might have it in my pocket and carry my own. In fact, I like salt so much that people have actually challenged me on my level of salt intake over the years. And I am very quick to remind them that salt is a preservative. Is that good? Yeah, come on, give me. Yeah, I heard somebody clap. Yeah, that was good. My lovely wife, though, is also very quick to remind me it's a preservative of dead things. Yeah, so I think she wins in that one. I think she wins. In our series of Redefining Happiness, Jesus has redefined it by focusing on the internal character of the person thus far. He's helped us shift our focus from the temporal to the eternal, and that redefines happiness for us. He's helped us understand that our reward waits in heaven so that we can be happy and joyful through some not so easy times here on this earth. But you know, I've thought about this over the years. Do you ever wonder, why doesn't God just take us to heaven when we say yes to Jesus? Because if our ultimate goal is to, or purpose is to glorify God, I can do that a whole lot better in heaven than I can here on this earth. Is that true? Right? So why doesn't God just rapture us as soon as we say yes to Jesus? Wouldn't that be cool? You're praying with someone. Actually, you wouldn't be here to pray. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's a problem, right? He leaves us here because he has a job for us to do. He has work for us to do. He calls us to be influencers in the world around us. He calls us to do that. And that's the whole idea, actually, behind the name of our church. We changed our name late last year, to Catalyst. We want to be influencing the world around us, all around us. So in the Beatitudes that we've been going through, that we've already gone through, it was all about character. It was all about what is inside of us. Today, we're shifting gears a little bit, and we're going to be talking about our influence. How does that character flow out of us? Today, we're moving from blessing to responsibility. We're moving from character to influence. We are blessed, we've learned that over the last several weeks, to be a blessing. If you've missed any of those messages over the last several weeks, go to our YouTube channel, go to our app, go to all those places, like it, share it, all that stuff, because then we're making the world a happier place because we're redefining happiness. How does Jesus call us to be an influence? Look at this. In Matthew chapter 5, he says this, "You are the salt of the earth." You are the salt of the earth. That word "you" right at the beginning, that actually normally would be left out. It would be an understood "you" unless it was emphatic, unless there was a specific purpose for putting it in there. And Jesus wanted to emphasize "you." You are. See, throughout the Beatitudes, he was saying, God blesses those. And then in verse 11, when he talked about persecution, he says, and blessed are you when you're persecuted. And that was a subtle shift. But here, when he's saying you are the salt of the earth, it's an emphatic shift. The subtlety is gone. He's making no bones about it. You are the salt of the earth. He says, that's what you are. He doesn't say, that's what you should be. or that's what you will be, or that's what you can be if you actually want to go along with my plan. He doesn't say any of that. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Now that is important because it's not debatable. It's not something that's up for grabs. It's not something we even get to make a choice about. We are the salt of the earth. So let's talk about salt for a few minutes. Looking at the power of salt. Why is he using salt here as a metaphor? Well, when he's saying that we are the salt of the earth, he's actually making a statement about the world around us. He's saying the world that you live in, the world around you is in moral decay. That's why you need to be salt in the earth. You need to be the salt of the earth because salt has several purposes. The first one is preserving. Back in the old days, before refrigeration, anybody around before refrigeration? No? Oh, come on. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, okay. There's a couple. That's good, that's good. Before refrigeration, you had to preserve things with salt. Meat would have to be preserved with salt. In Jesus' time, Jesus spent a lot of time with fishermen. When fishermen would get a big haul of fish, they couldn't just put it on ice. They couldn't just put it in the freezer. They packed it in salt to preserve it so that it didn't go off. Jesus is saying the world is in moral decay and it desperately needs believers, followers of Jesus, to keep it from going bad. This isn't dissimilar to the calling he had on the nation of Israel, God had on the nation of Israel. He told Israel that the rest of the world was going to be blessed because of them. And because of them, God's judgment was withheld often. They were influencers in the world around them. And then Jesus says, that was their vocation. This is yours now, disciples. You are to be influencers in the world around you. You're to be salt. You're to influence the world around you, not be influenced by it. And then salt is not only a preservative, it also has a purifying effect. My son-in-law, Ben, yesterday had a bit of an accident. He bumped into something and busted his head open and things. And back before modern medicine, if he had done that, they would have rubbed salt in that wound to prevent infection. That sounds like fun. You get a big open wound and, you know, and it was hilarious because they actually took him to the doctor to get it glued up and stuff. And my daughter's a nurse and she was saying, no, we can just go home. I can take care of that, right? That's how they usually roll, but other people were influencing them. Anyway, before modern medicine, they would rub salt in it. Well, like salt can heal, it also stinks. Salt stings, but it saves lives. And just as salt can sting and bring healing, us living our lives out following Jesus is uncomfortable to the world around us, but it is transformative to those who are willing to follow. It stings their conscience. That's why Jesus said, you will suffer persecution because they're not going to like it when you're acting as salt in the world. Salt's not only preserving and purifying, it also has the quality of provoking thirst. Do you like to go to the movies and get the big buckets of popcorn? Is that good? You know what I hate about that? When other people get the big buckets of popcorn, right? Anybody hate it when you hear all the crunching going on all around the theater? No, is that just me? Maybe I've got issues. All right, thank you. I'm so glad somebody else. Man, we're connected at a very deep level right now. You know that. Oh, it's so annoying. But anyway, and salt makes that popcorn good. If you eat popcorn that's not salty, it's not that good. But what do you want to do as soon as you have a couple of handfuls? You want a refreshing drink, right? Because that salty stuff is just terrible. By the way, side note, once upon a time, Deanna made some popcorn. Kids were small, and we were on holiday, and she made popcorn. And somebody, I don't even know who did it. I think it was probably Deanna, quote-unquote salted it with garlic powder. Yeah. How fun is that? I think it's actually a thing now that you can buy, and we should have marketed it. But anyway, Just as eating something salty makes us thirsty, when we live our lives out in front of the world around us, it should make them crave that refreshment, crave and thirst for something deeper, for a relationship with Christ. So not only does it do all those things, it also provides flavor. Food without salt is bland. It's not worth eating. I don't care what it is. It needs salt, unless it's watermelon. You don't salt watermelon, by the way. That's just a side note there. You know, we're not just to have influence, but it needs to be a positive influence. It needs to add flavor. It needs to enhance. See, as Christians, our presence should be bringing out things by bringing grace and joy and truth and peace and hope to people's lives. It should have a positive influence, not just an influence, but a positive influence in the world around us, in our workplaces, in our home, in our school, in our culture, even in politics. And we got an election coming up, and I am not going to talk about that other than to say we should be influencers. We shouldn't ignore the opportunities that we have. As we act as Christians in the world, we're adding flavor to it, and that should attract people to Jesus Christ. That's why he left us here. You need to ask yourself a few questions. Am I a good neighbor? Think about your neighborhood. Do people know you and are they glad you're there? How do you treat people at work? What is the fruit of the Spirit? For those that are believers, you've been in church a while, you've heard of the fruit of the Spirit. What does that look like in your life? Are you full of joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Does that describe you? Those are the things we need to be flavoring this world with as salt in the earth. We should be attracting people to our life, or attracting people to Christ by our life. He says this, you're the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. That phrase, lost its flavor, comes from the Greek word moreno, which literally means foolish. Foolish. It's lost its flavor. It's foolish to cause something to lose its taste or purpose. It tells us that pure salt actually can't become unsalty, but the salt that's mined from the shores of the Dead Sea actually over time can, because the sodium chloride dissolves. So Jesus knew what he was talking about, and it related to them right where they were at in that day. Rabbis commonly used the image of salt to speak of wisdom. That's why Jesus uses this word here that means foolish, because salt that's lost its flavor is foolish. A foolish disciple has zero influence in the world. We don't need to be foolish disciples. When a salt loses its saltiness, it's lost its purpose. Its purpose is to act like salt. Christians and the church as a whole, our purpose is to behave like the church. It's to be the church. And if it loses its saltiness, if the church loses its saltiness, we're talking about losing our influence. Question for you to ponder. In our community, would the community know, whether it's here, whether it's in Bacchus Marsh, or whether it's in some of the places we're working around the world, would they know if we weren't here? Would they know if we were gone tomorrow? Would they care? Another way to look at it is, are they glad we're here? And think about this now. Okay, I'm not talking about the buildings. I'm not talking about the property. We are the church. People. Are people glad you're here? Are they glad that you're having an influence? See, salt that loses its saltiness is worthless. And our influence diminishes when we become irrelevant to the world around us and when we blend in too well with the world around us. And it says that at that point, it's to be trampled underfoot. That's all it's good for. And the Greek word there is katapateo, and it means to treat with the utmost contempt. Jesus says, how can it be made salty again? When the church loses its saltiness, it's lost its reputation. You know, people are already convinced out there that what we do in here and the way we live our lives through the week, it's the church is pretty irrelevant, and the church has a lot of things that it could answer for, because some of the accusations and criticisms of the church are actually fair. But we need to be working hard to make sure that we don't damage the reputation and fuel that bad image of the church. People are convinced that the church is full of hypocrites and there's nothing positive to offer. And they see scandals and things like that associated with different churches. By God's grace, and I pray that it will continue. This church doesn't have that in its history. But we need to be careful. We need to be on guard to make sure that we don't lose our saltiness. And not only does it lose its reputation, it loses its mission, its purpose for existence, the reason for being. Our mission is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world, to see people's lives transformed by Jesus. And when we lose our saltiness, when we lose our mission, when we forget what we're here for, we've lost our unique purpose. When we forget that we are here to be preserving, that we're here to be purifying, that we're here to be provoking thirst in others and providing flavor for the world around us. When we forget that, we've lost our mission. We've drifted away, and we really have no reason to exist at that point, because otherwise it's just a club and we just get to hang out together, and hanging out with you is wonderful and fine, but it's not our purpose. Our purpose is to take the gospel to the world. You know, when we talk about hanging out together, if you think about salt in a salt shaker, I hate humidity because the salt doesn't shake when it gets humid, right? It clumps together, and it's useless at that point unless you dry it out and break it up and all that kind of stuff. Friends, it's great to gather together. It's great to encourage one another. It's great to have fellowship is the word we use in the church world with each other. But friends, once we do that for a little while, we need to shake out like the salt shaker, and we need to get out there in the world and spread ourselves around so that we can be preserving and purifying and adding flavor to the world. He goes on, not only the salt of the earth, but you're actually the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. In the Old Testament, Israel was considered the light. The city is likely Jerusalem that he's talking about here. It could have been any city that was up on a hill and their torches could be seen at night. Then in John chapter 8, verse 12, it tells us that Jesus claimed that he was the light of the world. And then in Acts chapter 13, he says, you are the light of the world. Here he's saying, you are the light of the world. And just like the salt, you have no choice. It's you. You are not debatable. Jesus is saying, you're already this. Why did he use this metaphor? Well, if the world around us is in moral decay, we would say that it's also in spiritual darkness. And that's why Jesus said to be the light of the world. Because the world doesn't know the way to God. And that's why he sends us. It says this in the book of Acts. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. It's the same way today. We live in a world where most of the people around us are living in darkness and they don't know the way to God. But we know the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father, how? Except through me. Thank you for three people. We know that. The world needs to know that. We need to share that with others. So when we look at light and the purpose of light all around us, first of all, we're to act as light, and it starts by revealing. Light reveals. If you walk into a dark room and you have kids at home, you're going to break your leg stripping over Legos and stuff, right? But if you turn the light on first, you can see it all, and you can navigate your way through the messes and the socks and all that kind of stuff. You are the light of the world. The world needs us to reveal or to expose. Ephesians 5:11 says that we're to expose the deeds of darkness. Not just say, hey, look at the darkness. We're to expose the deeds of darkness for reconciliation, so that when people can see the darkness, they can repent and they can come to Jesus. as Christ's presence in this world, we become those instruments to reveal truth to a world that's in darkness. Not only does light reveal, light also reflects. That's another thing that we need to be doing. The moon, when you can see the moon, do you know the moon does not have light? It does not put out light. It reflects the light of the sun, right? That's why sometimes when it's really bright, it's because it's closer to the sun. There's no clouds. On a cloudy night, though, what can you not see? You can't see the moon. You can't see that reflection from the sun. Just like the moon reflects the sun, we reflect the light of Jesus Christ. And the closer we are to Christ in our daily walk with him, the brighter we're going to shine. But if we let the clouds of fear and sin and whatever it is that's tripping us up get in the way, guess what? The light's going to shine, reflect more dimly. We need to be reflecting him so that when people see our good deeds, they see our light, they actually see God, not us. And then finally, third quality of light is it radiates hope. And the image here would be like a lighthouse. A lighthouse stands on a rocky coastline and it's there sending out the light all the time. When the storm comes, does the lighthouse shut down? No. That's when it's needed the most. It stays there, it's solid, it's stable, and it's just there, sending out the light, sending out hope to those who would otherwise potentially crash on the rocks. As lights, we shine and we stand out as followers of Jesus. We need to be that beacon of hope, radiating light to others to give them hope in otherwise hopeless situations. When the world is chaos around us, when they can't make sense of it, we need to be that light. No one lights a lamp, then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. A light hidden is a light wasted. We are to be public spectacles for Jesus. There should be something different that makes us stand out. And, you know, we think about the places we go, things we do, the places we don't go, how we respond to life. And I think one of the biggest things, one of the biggest ways we can be light is that we make people wonder how we cope so well when things don't go so well. How do we cope well in life when troubles come, when life gets hard? How do we deal with the depravity around us? How do we deal with death? How do we deal with sickness? How do we deal with the fact that we're treated unfairly at work or whatever the case may be? If we handle those situations well, they're going to wonder how we're coping so well. That's us shining our light. We're to stand out as followers of Jesus. And when we do that, we're pointing people to God. They need to see him and not us. They need to see Jesus in our lives. You know, we're not called to isolate. We're called to insulate and then be out in the world. Just like the salt, as light, we need to be out there in the darkness, dispelling the darkness. Verse 16 says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You know, this is the second command so far in the Sermon on the Mount. The first one was be happy when you're persecuted. Now Jesus is commanding us to let our light shine. Let our good deeds shine out for all to see. What happens when that happens? Two things. One, people are going to see your good deeds. That word good means attractive. We're talking about things that the world can see as we're doing good in the world. That's what that literally means. Works that help other people that are going to attract and find Christianity pleasing. People do need to see our good deeds. And some people say, oh, wait a minute, that's pride. We need to do everything in secret and in quiet and just before God. No, it says when the world sees your good deeds, they'll glorify God, which is the second thing that happens. People will praise your Father in heaven. When they recognize you as God's children, they're going to praise him, not you. Make sure we don't get that flipped around. If people are patting you on the back and telling you how great you are, I'm happy for you because it means you're doing a good job, but make sure you're deflecting that straight to God. Say, you know what? Inside of me, there's nothing good. It's all God doing this. So what do we do with all this? We're to be salt and we're to be light in the world around us. We are called to be influencers. Now, why are social media influencers? What makes them actually influencers? Two things. They're distinctive and they're dedicated. They found a unique niche and they are dedicated to their craft. They're doing it all the time. You know, Jesus called us to be influencers before it was cool to be an influencer. And for us, the application and the parallel between influencers today and what we need to be doing is so obvious. We're called to be influencers. We need to be distinctive and dedicated. There needs to be something different about our lives that other people are attracted to and that they want to be like. If they're not seeing anything worth following in us, why would we have followers, right? And then we need to be dedicated to the task. We need to be dedicated to our following Jesus in ways that are going to attract people. Influence is hard work. It requires intentionality. Are you distinct in your faith? Or maybe sometimes you feel like your faith is more diluted than distinctive. How are you intentionally influencing others around you? Salt and light, they are two essential elements that Jesus talked about today. Just as those are essential, we are essential in the world around us today. So as we get ready to leave, I want to ask you to stand up for the last point. And I want to encourage you, as you're getting ready to walk out the doors and do whatever it is you're going to do this week, to do this. Be salt that makes people thirst for Jesus. Start there. Be salt. Be like that popcorn that makes people say, hey, I want some of that. I need to be refreshed. Can you help me? So be the salt and then be the light that shows them the way to him. Be the salt. Makes people thirsty and want Jesus, then be the light that shows them the way to get there. I got some help yesterday with Chat Pastor D, not Chat GPT, for my sermon. I told her a little bit about where I was going, and she threw me a curveball and said, hey, this may not work, but you know, salt comes out of our body two different ways. It's like, oh, okay. No, it doesn't fit. Leave me alone. The more I thought about it, you know what will cause us to be salt in the world? When the salt of our tears start flowing, when our hearts are breaking because of the moral decay around us and the preserving need and people who are lost, when that grips our heart, tears should come from time to time. And those are salty. You know how else salt comes out? Through our sweat, right? It's hard work showing them, being that light that leads others to Jesus. We need to be willing to put in the effort, shed the tears, and then break a sweat trying to draw people to Jesus. This week, as you go out, find one way to intentionally live out your calling as salt and light, whether it be through a conversation or a simple act of kindness. Shine brightly and flavor generously. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the calling that you have on our lives to be influencers. Lord, it's a simple message that you have put us on this planet. You loved us. You sent Jesus to die for us and make a difference in our lives. And then once we've accepted that, Lord, you have a job for us to do, and that's to be influencers in the world around us. Help us do that. Help us just take these simple analogies, Jesus, that you put in front of us as salt and light. Help us just, as we see salt each day, as we see light each day, just to be reminded of our influence, of our role of being influencers in the world today to people around us. Help us to identify places that need us to be that salt, to preserve, to purify, to make people thirsty, and to make the world a more flavorful place, and then help us shine the light so that people can avoid danger and come to understand the love that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.